योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचाम् मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तं प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि.
वि आर् डिस्कसिङ्ग् ए वेरि इण्ट्रेस्टिङ्ग् टापिक्, द पवर्स् आफ् योग. वेन् ए योगी प्राक्टिसेस् वित् ग्रेट् सिन्सियरिटि, then he is going to attain to a lots and lots of powers, super normal powers, though there are obstacles. Why is Patanjali Rishi discussing these things even though he himself says there are obstacles? Sri Ramakrishna said, Sri Krishna said, there is one quotation of Sri Krishna, says, if any of my devotees possess even one of these powers, then he is not going to reach me. Then why is Patanjali discussing? For two reasons. To confirm that yes, not only these powers are mentioned, they are a fact of life. Second, even though they are there, it is not necessary that they are all the time bad. They can be used to help devotees to progress in spiritual life. But in general, for people who are not pure enough, who are lacking that knowledge called viveka, power of discrimination, then they can stand as tremendous obstacles. In this regard, Vyasa, who was supposed to have written a most wonderful commentary on these Patanjali Yoga Sutras, he mentions an ancient tale. There is an ancient story prevalent in this connection in the scriptures. There was a great sage who had acquired knowledge of 10 cycles of creation and the sequence of births therein through the realization of these samskaras or subliminal impressions and have become enlightened. Another sage has questioned him, you have lived through 10 cycles and because of enlightenment your intellect has not been clouded. You have experienced the sorrows of hell and animal life and have repeatedly enjoyed pleasures as a deva, a celestial, as well as a human being. Of these, what have you enjoyed best? To this, the first sage replied, I have lived through 10 cycles of creation. I have experienced the sorrows of hell as well as of animal life. I was also born again and again as a celestial being, but I consider all that I have been through as absolute pain. Then the second sage asked him, tell me how you count your mastery over your own mind and why do you consider it as pain? Then the first sage replied, pleasure of contentment has been ranked as superior to other enjoyments, but it is nothing but pain compared to the bliss of the state of liberation. This characteristic of contentment of mind is nothing but a composition of the three gunas, and everything connected with the gunas has been counted as that. It has to be assiduously avoided, detached from, so that we can progress in spiritual life.
Are there differentiations among realized souls? Yes. I will not discuss the details in this class. According to Vedanta, we classify those realized souls into four categories. Jivan Mukta, Acharya, Ishwarakoti and Avatara. An ordinary man who just realized God, he becomes free. An Acharya, like Saint Paul, Saint Thomas Aquinas, like Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, who established special schools of, not established, but propagated special schools of philosophy, they are not ordinary people. They have far more power as well. They also they are influencing people even today. We are the example. The monks of the Ramakrishna order, influenced by whom? By Shankaracharya even today. And Sri Ramakrishna himself had confirmed it. We all belong to Shankaracharya's followers. We are Shankaracharya's followers. Second category is Acharyas. They have more power. But there is a third category, Ramakrishna used to call Nitya Siddhas, or Ishvara Kotis, those who accompany incarnations of God in order to help them. Swami Vivekananda, Swami Brahmananda, and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had come, Nityananda Mahaprabhu, along with Buddha, who came, Ananda, along with Jesus Christ, who came, Saint Peter. How do we know about this? Interesting, you may question, okay, your Vedanta divides these people. How do you know about Jesus Christ? Because Sri Ramakrishna's statement is, all incarnations are the same being. Though he did not mention the others, he who was born as Rama, as Krishna. In this age, he is born in this body as Ramakrishna. But he did not mention Buddha, he didn't mention Jesus Christ and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many other incarnations. So how do we know? Because among the disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, there were two, if you remember, Swami Sharadananda and Swami Ramakrishnananda. And Sri Ramakrishna had a vision that they were among the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. We do not know exactly who they are, but that's what it is. Very interestingly, Swami Sharadananda, while returning from USA, he stopped in Rome and went to visit St. Peter's Cathedral, where it was supposed that his body was buried underneath. He had a wonderful experience. He didn't mention what was that experience, but we come to know that since Ramakrishna made such a statement, he must have realized, probably, this is our guess, his own identity in that place. Like Ramakrishna said, if I go to Puri or Gaya, then this body will not stay. What is the third category? Those who accompany an avatara, and they have tremendous power. What is the power? The difference is only in power. They can give liberation to many more people. But the highest category belongs to the avatara purusha. Avataras means incarnations of God. Their influence is for a long, long, long time over a large geographical area and on many, many types of people. Jesus Christ, for example, his influence was not on Hindus 2000 years back. Why? Because for the simple reason, his idealism had not gone beyond his area. Only his disciples went. Later on, now you see, so many people voluntarily love. One of them was the guru of Sri Ramakrishna, in a way of speaking, guru of Sri Ramakrishna, Mr. Mishra. He voluntarily loved Jesus Christ, not because of forced conversion. Lot of people became Christians because of forced conversion. This is how, even though all are realized souls, all become totally free, all have exactly the same type of knowledge. The difference is not in knowledge, but in their power to help others. That is how we make this division. What is the point we are discussing here? That sometimes all these great people, they use now and then these supernormal powers to remove the impediments, obstacles in the life of others. Another important thing we have to keep in mind is, lest we may think all these powers are such supernormal powers, many people seem to have lost their faith. But whenever these great people like incarnations come, most of these powers become what is called demonstrated either by themselves or by their disciples to prove that they are not myths but they are reality. With this background, in our last class, what did we discuss? Samskara Sakshat Karanat Purva Jati Jnanam. That was what we discussed. The aphorism which says, if a yogi can focus, sanyama, the word sanyama is most important for us. What is sanyama? Dhyana, dharana and samadhi. The last three steps in the yogic scheme of spiritual progress, when they are combined together in different degrees. That is called Sanyama. To make it easier for us to understand, what is Sanyama? To become one with a particular idea. Become one with a particular idea in the mind. There would be practically no distinction between the yogi's mind and the thought or idea upon which he is focusing. This is called Sanyama. For lack of proper English translation, I am forced to use this word Sanyama. It's a very peculiar word. But to make it easier for us to understand, I use absorption. Absolute, complete absorption. If we keep it in mind, it will probably serve the purpose. Not really. In our last class, this was the aphorism we closed. Samskara Sakshat Karanat. Each one of us, you ask the question, who am I? Ask the question about anybody. Who are you? Normal reply is, I am so and so. I am a man, I am a woman, Mr., Mrs., Miss., MS., whatever. But if you take from the higher point of view, every man is nothing but a bundle of his samskara. You understand what is samskara? All the impressions that make up our personality because of vast and varied experiences we had not only in this life but in many, many, many past lives. A condensation of all these samskaras, but a part of that condensed samskara manifesting in this particular age is the particular personality in this age. Each word you will have to listen carefully and understand it. Keep it in mind. Why did I say that? Because last birth might have had totally different samskaras. Next birth you may have totally different samskaras. A funny example the Ramakrishna gives. There was a prince, son of a king, and he used to play with his friends. And his favorite game was, he used to make one of his friends, you bend down, I will take some cloths and beat them on your back. This is what washermen do in India. They go to a riverbed and then they take these wet cloths, and there will be a rock, they apply a little bit of soap and go on beating. This prince liked that. Somebody saw it and remarked, why is this prince behaving like this? Always he says, whenever he gets opportunity, come on, let us play this washerman game. He was a washerman in the previous birth. This point is an illustration. A man may be washerman in the previous birth. At that time, what would be his personality? Washerman's personality. Some people in this life, some people you find always barking. Could you imagine, by focusing upon that quality, what they would have been in the past life? Some people behave like donkeys. So, what would they be? Does it require a yogic knowledge to infer what they were in the previous birth? But yogis, they have that special ability to focus, especially upon their own samskaras. By that, purva jati jnanam, knowledge about their previous births would come. Interestingly, you might have heard about Edgar Cayce. Have you heard about Edgar Cayce? He was a man who could put himself into hypnosis, and he could see the past lives of many, many long back, even 5,000 years back, 10,000 years back. You were like this, you did like this, that's why you are suffering like this, and this is the remedy. I'll give you an example because it's most wonderful. He must have been a gnani. So suppose somebody is suffering from a mental tension, terrible mental tension. No psychologist, especially in those days, about 100 years back, was able to help him. So some of them may be lucky enough to hear his name. They would go to that person and then immediately say, you know, 5,000 years back, you gave lot of trouble to such and such a person. That person had gone through the agony which you are experiencing now, and as a result of doing that, in this life, you are experiencing this. Could you see what is the problem here? 5,000 years back, that event happened. The results of those actions which were done 5,000 years back are fructifying when? In this life. These are very common things. Simple illustration. Sri Ramakrishna, he says, he was Rama. When was Rama born? How many thousands of years back? When was Krishna born? How many thousands of years back? I'm just giving as an example. So what does that mean? That means there Purvajati Jnana. Bhagavad Gita also he says, you know, Arjuna asks a question. Sri Krishna says, exactly this question was posed to me by Manu 10,000 years back. Arjuna's mouth fluttered a little bit. Said, what are you talking about? You are my same age of mine. And you are talking about as though you have taught this to Manu 10,000 years back. And then Sri Krishna says, you know Arjuna, you have been born many times. I also have been born many times. I know how many times I have been born. You do not know. Anyway, what's the importance of this aphorism is that by concentrating on the core of our personalities, I am not talking about spiritual personality. I am talking about our the personality which we call the body-mind complex. It is nothing. Let anybody say anything, I am so and so, I am a doctor, I am a PhD, whatever. But each person, man or woman, but nothing but a bundle, concentrated bundle, and a small portion of it manifesting in this particular birth is the personality for this life. If any yogi can focus on that, he will know the whole of his past life will be like forensic science will be revealed to that particular yogi. Now, why is it so important? Two reasons. Patanjali himself gives two reasons. One reason is a yogi is striving very hard to progress and perhaps he is not able to progress. Then he thinks, what is the obstruction? I can't see any obstruction. Why am I not able to progress? If he focuses upon this, then he, oh, I had been habituated to these actions in my past life. And now they have become what we call samskara, habits. And I was not able to progress because of this particular samskara. Then he can take an action. And what action he can take? He can slowly reduce the intensity of those obstructive samskaras so that he can progress in spiritual life. This is one reason that is given. Same reason, extended, but in a most wonderful way, is there are yogis who progressed 99.99%. The door is just there. All that they need to do is put their foot there. But something is holding them back. At that time, by God's grace, all the births they had gone through from the very beginning of this, what we call samsara, this cycle of transmigration, comes before their eyes like a cinema reel. And then, oh, I have been a son, I have been a servant, I have been a father, I have been a mother, I have been a friend, I have been an enemy. Every imaginable role I had played in this world. I was a saint, I was also a sinner. When a person was able to see all these past births, what is the result? The result is he will have absolute detachment. I am attached to my father, to my mother. Oh, no attachment. Why? How many fathers I had? How many mothers I had? How many times I was the wife? How many times I was a husband? When that firm knowledge comes, certain knowledge comes, that last bit of attachment automatically dissolves. As soon as that happens, the man goes forward, becomes merged in his true nature, which is Supreme Brahman, and he becomes free. So these are the one to understand what is the obstruction and go forward. The other to get rid of the last bit of attachment. That is how Purvajati Jnanam will help. How does it help? In a third way, great people like Sri Ramakrishna, whenever devotees come to them, immediately he will see. And then he will say, oh, in your past births, you were like this. And this is the obstruction because of which you are not able to move forward. And then he will suggest the remedy and the disciple will move forward. That is what we discussed in our last class. Now coming back, this 19th aphorism, Pratyayasya Parachitta Jnanam. By making Sanyama on the signs in another's knowledge of that mind comes. It's a very interesting point here. We would like to know, you know, if only I know other person's mind. What the other person is thinking about. Is it possible? Yes. How is it possible? Make science. Make sanyama. Focus on two facts. External science and on the thoughts of the other person. Both ways, the knowledge of or what the mind is thinking, what the other person is thinking. Let me explain very briefly. We are all human beings. All of us look totally different from each other. Even twins look totally different from each other. There are certain signs. Even though we are all human beings, none of us are alike. Physically, I am talking. Some are tall, some are short. Some people's eyes are like that. Some people's formation of the body is like that. Each one of us are different. Now, why is this difference? How did this difference come? Who created that difference? Who created? We created. How did we create? By our thought process. That thought, which is most dominant in our minds most of the time, that forms our body. I will give a simple example. Suppose a person is always worried. First of all, how would his face look like? Suppose somebody is very angry, all the time annoyed and angry. How does that person's face look? So, our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our stomach, everything is different from everybody. So, such a wonderful thing even to think about it. Okay, another example I will give you. Supposing there is somebody who is a glutton. He likes to eat any amount of food in the past life. In this life, what would be his body like? He will have a tremendous amount of what you call digestive power. His stomach will be so huge that whatever he eats is digested almost instantaneously so that he can go on stuffing himself to the brim. And you say, hey, how did you get this body? How did he get? Even we can see, there's an example given. What is her name? In France, who was Gallatin, the Marie Antoinette? Yes. They said, when the liberation people, they have decided to kill her, overnight, her jet black hair, overnight, turned into pure white hair. I don't know how far it is true, but it serves as an example. What it means is that how much of worry that lady must have gone through took completely. Next morning people went and they were surprised to see an old woman sitting in the... So you get the drift of what I am talking about. Even today, for a few days, you think positive thoughts. Only very positive thoughts, happy thoughts, helpful thoughts, cheerful thoughts. Your whole face will change. You think the opposite thought. Then your body also will change. Your blood pressure, your doctor will be able to tell you whether the blood pressure has gone up, your stress levels had gone up. So many chemical changes are taking place. Just now, an interesting thought came to my mind, and it is related to this. We are talking from the yogi's point of view. What about from the chemist's point of view? Do you know what our bodies are? Nothing but a conglomeration of chemicals. That is why Some people, another example that came is, they look very lazy, very dull, procrastinators. But if you take the chemicals, maybe the, what is it called, thyroid gland, hypothyroid and hyperthyroid, and that person is affected by this, the result of that gland. But why did he develop that particular gland working in that particular way? Has it just accidentally come? No. If you believe in all these things, in the past birth, the fellow was lazy fellow, and so next birth he automatically developed, what did he develop? Hypothyroid. And the fellow was very restless in the past birth. What do you think he will develop in this birth? Hyperthyroid. Stands to reason. Our body is mostly controlled by glands, the secretions of the glands. If we can study our own glands, we get a glimpse of our mental personality. This is another way of confirming what the yogi is already confirming through other means. What is this aphorism says? Pratyayasya parachitta jnana. How to know the contents of other people's minds and also our own minds. Mind you, that's not what this aphorism is saying. Parachitta jnana. To know what the other person is thinking, what the mind of the other person is, That is the essence of this aphorism. But I am extending it. Do we know all that goes on in our mind? How many of us know all that goes on in our mind? If we know all that goes on in our own minds, the first profession that will disappear, you know what it is, psychiatry, psychology. Because what is psychology? Knowledge of the psyche, mind. If we all have, we know why certain things are happening, why and how we can take remedy, and we can do very easily. And if we are spiritual aspirants, if we are meditating, the first progress in spiritual life, we know, how do we know? The contents of our mind become crystal clear to us. Nothing just stays hidden. If any spiritual aspirant tells me that I am progressing in spiritual life, but I am very unconscious of what my unconscious mind is doing, then I have to laugh at that fellow and say, not only you are not making spiritual progress, you are regressing in spiritual life, because you are under the delusion that you are making a spiritual progress. That's why if any yogi goes to a psychiatrist, what should be he be labeled as? A yogi, not a yogi, not a spiritual person at all. These are the secrets you have to learn from this. What is it? A yogi concentrates upon the other person's, first of all, bodily signs. And Sri Ramakrishna was an expert in this bodily signs. You know, Sri Ramakrishna tells, if a man is behaving like this, breathing like this, passing urine like this, then his mind is worldly mind, he suggests. And if a woman is described like this, then she is also a worldly woman. How did he come to know about it? By just focusing upon the external signs manifest in each one of our bodies. The important point before we go further is this. In one way of speaking, our body indicates the condition of our mind, because the body and mind, what is the difference? What is the relationship? Subtlety of the physical body is called mind. That means if we know the body, we know the mind. If we know the mind, we know the body. The point here is, a yogi, by just looking at people's signs, instantaneously he knows what samskaras, what thought processes are going on in the mind. What is the usefulness of this? You may ask, what do we gain from it? If there are any obstacles in a yogi's life, he can understand it. And if there are obstacles in the other person's mind, he can also know, oh, your body shows that you have this problem. Sri Ramakrishna's life, if you have studied, every step he looks at the physiognomy of a person, and he instantaneously, he has a distinct, clear impression of what that person's personality is, what his pravritti we call, the samskaras of that person, and how he could be helped, or whether could not be even helped. Some people come to meet Sri Ramakrishna and he looks at them. Do you know what he says? They want to sit. Do you know what he says to them? Go and see the gardens, buildings. Because he understands these are worldly people. I am not able to help them in this life. So it is useless waste of time for both for themselves and myself also. Okay, this is one. Focus on the external signs manifest in the body, then one gets the knowledge of that person's mind. What is the second method? If we can also focus upon the other person's mind, the first instance, focus upon the external signs, bodily signs. What is the second instance? You focus upon the other person's mind. How does one focus upon the other person's mind? Body is visible, mind is not visible. How does he do it? Let me give an incident, then briefly we will discuss. Once, probably the topic was how to know the other person's thoughts. Swami Vivekananda was there, Swami Shivananda was there. Later on, Swami Shivananda was reminiscing his experience. He said, Swamiji looked at him and said, Taragda, I can teach you how to understand what is the other person's thoughts. Would you like to know? Probably Shivanandaji, maybe he had a small desire that he would like to know, curiosity maybe. Then Swamiji explained, three steps. The first step is, you make sankalpa, we call it, you know, a desire. I would like to know this person's mind, thoughts first. And then you make your own mind totally blank. And then afterwards, whatever thoughts arise in your mind will be the thoughts of the person upon whose thoughts you wanted to know. Shivanandaji was narrating. Swamiji told me this. Swami Shivanandaji was continuing. He said that there was a person sitting there, a devotee perhaps. I don't know. We don't know. He doesn't mention. He said, being an old man's meditation. Means what? A person who has been practicing meditation for a long, long time. I could easily make my mind totally blank. And then the thoughts started coming up. And then he understood, these are not my thoughts. And he opened his eyes and he looked at the devotee and said, are you not thinking this? And the devotee said, yes, ma, I have been thinking. So how to focus upon other people's mind? Because you don't see anything externally. So what to do? First, you must have the capacity to make your own mind blank. Before that, you do a sankalpa. Means, I would like to know this particular person's thoughts. And then you make your mind blank. And whatever thoughts arise, as though that person's mind has become one with your mind. This is the process of knowing the other person's thoughts. I gave the example, I will just repeat very briefly. Swami Vivekananda met a very troubled, wonderful singer called Emma Calvey. And she was a very troubled person. And somebody advised her to meet Swamiji. And she came and met. He entered into the room. And he started telling, madam, these are the things that happened in your life. She was astonished. And then Swamiji told, do not worry, your future is bright. You are going to rise even higher than what you were in your than before. Now focus on positive. Now she had faith. She believed in what Swamiji said. Why did she believe? Because a person who could read my past, of which nobody else knew, whatever the person said was true. That means whatever the person said about my future will also be absolutely true. And then she became cheerful. And she rose to even greater heights in her singing career than before. So this particular 19th aphorism tells, Pratyayasya Parachitta Jnanam, making Sanyama on the signs in another's body as well as that mind, knowledge of that mind becomes very clear to that person. 20th, Nachatat Salambanam Tasya Avishayi Bhutatva, related to the earlier aphorism, what it says is that you may know what the thoughts of that particular person are, but you may not know why those thoughts are coming into that particular person's mind. Do you see the difference? A person is thinking something. So a yogi can know, okay, at this moment you are thinking these thoughts, but why are you thinking these thoughts? Why is this person thinking these particular thoughts? Those details he will not know unless he does a sanyama again on that person's samskaras. I am using Sanskrit word. Samskara means deep-rooted, condensed habits. 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 Habit is a wonderful word, I told you. You know that? You know why it's a wonderful word? Habit. H-A-B-I-T. What is wonderful? Remove H. What remains? Bit. Remove A. What remains? Bit. Remove B. What remains? Still it remains. How strong it is. That is the power of habit. Get it? H, A, B. Even if you remove, something remains. That is the strength. That is why good or bad, it is very difficult. If it is good, it is fine. If it is bad, it's difficult. What is our problem? Okay, there is a beautiful book had come. If you are interested, you go through its most marvelous book. The title of the book is The Power of Habit. Why am I mentioning it? Because what are we now? Result of habit. And you want to become something else. What should you do? Change the habits. How to change the habits? How did you develop? You developed it so you can destroy it. You can demolish them. You can change them. So start new habit. So first time it is a struggle. Second time, less struggle. After 100th time, it becomes very wonderful. We are all creatures of habit. What is spiritual life or yogic life? Change the habits. That is the most wonderful, isn't it? Our body is a bundle of habits. Our mind is a bundle of habits. What else are we? Accepting a combination of the bundles of habits of both body and mind. If someone wants to know what is the cause why a particular person is thinking in a particular way, then the next technique is focus, do sanyama on the samskara of that particular person. And here is a caution. After hearing this talk, you may be cherishing an idea. Why can't I try to know the contents of other person's mind? Now you are not able to control your own thought. And you add some other people's thoughts. Can you understand what is the sequence? You are not able to carry your own burden. And somebody else's burden also, if you want to carry, you will just not blood pressure and stress, all those things will be terrible. So there is no need. We have more than enough. We move on to the next level, which is 21st aphorism. Kaya rupa sanyamat tad grahya shakti sthambhe chakshuh prakasha asamprayoge antardhanam. Simply translated, what it means, that there are some people, by focusing, doing sanyama upon the visibility of the body, they themselves become invisible. That means, simply putting, a yogi can be right here and be totally invisible. Does it sound very nice? And first let me narrate a story, then we will go. It will be very nice. Sri Ramakrishna had a disciple. I do not exactly remember, either Chandra or Girija. Now, one of them had developed this power of becoming invisible. So then, immediately, he developed a terrible attraction to a woman in a rich man's house. So he used to go, because nobody could see, and then enjoy life. So he thought, but what happens is, that kind of immoral life, very soon the person would lose his power, this special miraculous power. And one day he was caught red-handed, beaten black and blue, and then kicked out. They did not kill, thank God. This is an event mentioned in the Great Mark. Coming back to this aphorism, what it means? How do we understand this? Each one of our bodies, I am able to see your body, you are able to see my body. Every body has a particular power of being visible. You have to understand carefully. There is a power. I have a power of being visible. You have a power of being visible. And whatever object has a power of visibility, and we have the power of looking, seeing, experiencing that visibility power. When I have that power, when the object has got that power of visibility, then I can see that object. And if it is a living creature, it can also see me itself. So there are two powers. There is a body, there is a form, and there is the power of visibility. You have to be careful. There is a body. We are all having bodies. We are bodies. All of our bodies is a particular form. You recognize. How do you recognize? When you see, look at me in sufficient light. You don't mistake me to somebody else. How come? That means you have the power to discriminate. This person's body looks like this. The other person's body looks like this. Even twins you can distinguish by some way. However close they may be, similar they may be, there will be some difference. Now, this is the second point. All of us are bodies. Each body has a particular form. This is the second point. What is the third point? Every body has the power of being visible. Every body has the power of being visible. Now, what does the yogi do? He blocks that power of visibility in him. What does he do? He blocks the power of visibility by his power of concentration. He covers, as it were, in invisibility. He removes that power of visibility from his body. He blocks it. Therefore, even if he is there by your side, nobody will be able to see. So a yogi can have that kind of power. He just blocks that power of being visible. In that connection also, I will tell you something very interesting. I will just give you a simple example. What is this object? A watch. You recognize this is a watch, isn't it? How did you know this is a watch? How did you know? How did you know? The point, I have not told you. The point is, every object has a particular knowledge. Watch is watch knowledge. A book is book knowledge. A man is man knowledge. That means, if this watch is an object, and It's an argument, but it's not true. If this watch doesn't have the watch jnana, knowledge, then even though it is there, you cannot see it. This has the power of being known. What is it? The power of being known. You have the power of knowing, but the object also must have the power of being known. It's a very fundamental Vedantic doctrine. So what is the point here? All our bodies have the power of being known, because this is an object. What does the yogi do? He simply blocks by his yogic power that power of being visible to everybody. Now, why did I say visibility? Very interesting. Why visibility? Because all of us are a combination of five elements. Is it not? Five elements. Our physical body is visibility form, colors, visibility. And how did you know that somebody has come and said, suppose you are sitting with closed eyes and somebody comes and sits. Oh my God, that fellow, such and such a fellow had come and sat by your side. You will have instantaneous knowledge. How did you know? Because he is smelling of cigarettes, cigarette smoke. Previously, you had experience of whenever you go near such a person, you have what is called smelt of cigarette smoke, because he smokes. And you know that. Nobody else has got that habit of smoking. Even if you are with closed eyes, instantaneously you infer such and such a person is sitting by your side. How did you come to know? Simple. That is, you smelt smoke and there is only one person who comes here after smoking. What is my point? My point is not only the physical form, being known through the physical form, being known through smell, being known through a sound, being known through a touch. So all the five ways are form being known, being known, being known, being known, being known. A yogi, he totally eliminates, blocks that power of being known. And he may be in the midst of a billion people and nobody will be able to behold him. What is the usefulness of this? There is nothing. If you want to steal, if you want to go enter into the, you follow the bank, says cashier, into the safe, and then you can bring a lot of money out. Can you do that? I am not sure. You may be invisible. Whether the money will be moving without, I am not sure. Anyway, this is what he says. Kaya rupa sanyamat tat grahya shakti stambhe. Grahya shakti stambhe. When a yogi blocks, stops the power of being perceived, Chakshuh prakasha asamprayoge antardhana. The short and long of it is, he becomes totally invisible. And I gave you that example. Not only that, etena shabdadi antardhanam uktam. Aphorism 22 says, not only that, this power of blocking, not only form. Suppose a yogi blocks sound. See, our knowledge comes, I am talking. How, even with closed eyes, you may not see me, but you hear me. You get knowledge, isn't it? You not only you get knowledge of what I am talking, you get knowledge of who is talking. But if a yogi blocks that power of being heard, even if he is talking, nobody will hear. So, how does it help? Suppose Sri Ramakrishna wants to convey some truth to some other devotee and he doesn't want anyone else to hear it. What does he do then? He makes it possible only for one person. He gives that power of hearing what he says. And this is done in two ways. Ramakrishna often used to do it. He used to do it in some ways. First, he will sing a song, he will talk something. Only one person will know what he is conveying. For example, beautiful example, Swami Vivekananda got disgusted. He wanted to renounce the world. And he came to Sri Ramakrishna with the idea, for the last time, I will make pranams to my guru and then I will renounce the world and go. That was the idea. He did not say it to anybody. Sri Ramakrishna, he knows the past, present and future. And so many people were sitting. And Sri Ramakrishna started to sing a song. You know what is that song? That I have nobody to accept, who understands my mind, by my feeling. Like that, there is a song. The moment he sang, Narendranath's eyes started streaming tears. And everybody was looking, what is this? That Sri Ramakrishna is singing some song. And this man, he is shedding tears. What does that mean? He understood. Sri Ramakrishna came to know, and then he also tells, so don't do that now. So long as I am alive, don't do that. Afterwards you wait. He gave permission, but he said, so long I am there, do not do it. Narendra understood, silently went back. He did not renounce the world. This is one way. What is it? Even though a person is talking, is what is called in spice, use that language, you know, spicy language, spice, use that code language. It is a code language. The other way is yogic power. What is this yogic power? He is speaking, but to everybody he is silent. But his words are conveyed only to this particular person, meant for that particular. Then, aphorism 23. Sopakramam nirupakramancha karma tatsanyamat aparanta jnanam aristobhyova. A yogi comes to know when exactly his body is going to drop off. That means when he is going to die, he will come to. And through two ways. He says, aristova, or by focusing upon the karma. A very interesting analogy comes to you. You go to any supermarket and want to buy some food. So there would be a label. On that label, manufacturing date and expiry date. Nowadays they are very careful. They don't say expiry date. You know, English people have become very, they don't say accident. They will say incident. Euphemism, you know, this is called euphemism. So, every body has a manufacturing date and an expiry date. That is what he is telling. Sopakramam, the beginning of this body, and nirupakramam, the end of the karmas are coming. If a yogi can focus on those particular karmas which brought about this birth and which is going to be finished, then he will know exactly what time, what hour, what minute the yogi is going. Now, what is the benefit of this? Benefit of this is Swami Vivekananda gives a beautiful commentary, and also Vyasa Bhashya, he gives the comment. The commentary says, what is the use? Bhagavad Gita gives us a beautiful suggestion. What is that suggestion? Not suggestion, a truth. What is the truth? Whatever be the last thought of a person before death, his next birth, he will be born in that way. If somebody is thinking of a dog, what would you think he would become next birth? And if somebody is thinking of God, he will be born as a god. This is what we believe. Billions of Hindus believe, and it is true. The last thoughts determine the next birth. So, funny thing is, supposing there is a person, he has a dog, and he names the dog as Narayana. And in his last thoughts, he is thinking what? Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. But what is he thinking about a dog? So, even though outside people are hearing only Narayana's name, but God only knows the thoughts, and the thought is on dog. That's why he becomes a next birth a dog. This is what Bhagavad Gita tells. Whichever are our last thoughts, if we can control those thoughts, then our next birth we will be born, reborn with those ideas. That means if a yogi comes to know that at this second I am going to give up the body, this body is going to merge in its elements, if he can control his thoughts and keep them on God, his future birth will be most marvelous. Wonderful. We are not that advanced yogis. We don't know when we are going to die. What is the way out for? The way out is, long before death comes, go on thinking, one day I have to die, and I would like to die thinking of these thoughts. And Indians have a very interesting habit. They say, some scriptures tell, go on a pilgrimage to all places, accepting one importance which you want very longing to visit. Don't go. Do you get the point? Because that thought will be uppermost in your mind. Oh, I have not visited Varanasi. Oh, I have not visited Varanasi. Oh, I have not visited Varanasi, Varanasi, Varanasi. You are thinking of Lord Shiva and you give up the body. So I can extend this. You know what is that thought? That is, you go on saying, Ramakrishna, I prayed to you so much. You didn't fulfill my desire. Ramakrishna, I am very angry with you. Ramakrishna, I hate you. Whatever you want to do, direct it towards Ramakrishna, God, Jesus, whatever it is, Buddha. Then your last thoughts will be on that particular divine person. and then your next birth will be a very much higher birth. That is the usefulness of it. Coming back, what is the essence of it? A yogi can know his last days, last minutes, last seconds through two ways. One is, if he can focus, do samyama on the karma, beginning karma and end karma, then he will know exactly. The other way is called arista. Arista means certain portent. It's a very wonderful subject and it's a very fascinating subject for many reasons. I will close this talk with just one hint. Why is it so important to know about this? First of all, according to our spiritual beliefs, according to Vedanta, death of the body is not death of existence. It is only a step, like, you know, one night you go to bed, you sleep, and what do? Next morning, you get up. A new birth is just like getting up. Exactly like getting up from previous night's sleep. Exactly means what? You have gone to bed reading a particular book. You put a bookmark there. And next day, where do you start? Where you stopped last time. What is the implication? The implication is, whatever thoughts or samskaras, habits we developed in this life, whatever degree of concentration, whatever devotion, degree of devotion we developed in this life will come to us in the, follow us in the next birth. We start exactly there. So, first of all, there is no need to fear that we are going to become non-existent. Second, it's very important because to think of death gives urgency to our spiritual act. So, how this Sri Ramakrishna knew, Swami Vivekananda knew, Swami Brahmananda knew, how Holy Mother knew, very interesting incidents are there, which I will take up in our next. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.